Jeremiah 18, we want to look back at the potter again tonight, dealing with the potter knows the clay. I want to look one more thought. We're getting closer to getting done. A couple more messages probably be it, at least that's what it looks like for now. I hope you're not weary of it. But the potter knows the clay. We've looked at the clay must be removed. The potter has to go to the riverbank and pull the clay out. Then it has to be refined. He has to cleanse it and make sure the consistency's right. And has to be reformed. He's got it into just a glob, and he has to form it into the proper place and to a flat lump even before he starts the work. Then it has to be rotated. He has to put it in the center of the wheel, and we have to be in the center of God's wheel for him to work in our lives. Then it has to be responsive. It has to be tender and responsive and obedient to the touch and the voice of the Lord. And then the last time, it has to be, or it must be, rigid. And that sounds kind of strange, but it's exactly what I had on my heart. For the potter sets that vessel. Now, it's the proper shape. If it's a bowl, it looks like a bowl. If it's a jar, it looks like a jar. But then he takes it and puts it on the shelf and leaves it. And just lets it dry, leaves it there in that solitude place. Well, let's read some verses and I'll mention what I want to try to deal with tonight. Verse 3, "Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it." Again, Jeremiah was instructed to go down to the potter's house, for God had a message that he wanted to get across to him. We'll deal with that before we get through, Lord willing. But we've been looking at the potter knows the clay. And I thought about how that once that vessel has dried, and as much as possible, the moisture has been removed. It's as dry as it can be under normal circumstances. There's another process that the clay or the vessel must go through. For that potter did not form the vessel just to sit on a shelf or just to stay in his workshop, or he didn't form the vessel just to sort of display, but he has something in mind. He has a plan. He has something. He wants to use the vessel. Somehow, this vessel will leave the workhouse, leave the workshop. Sooner or later, it's going to go out into the world. And if it's going to face that world, it must be prepared. It must be, here's my point, the clay must be ready. The clay must be ready. Again, the potter has more in mind than just forming the clay and making the vessel and sitting on the shelf. As much as, to be honest, he enjoys that work, but he has more in mind than sizes and shapes and shells. He has service in mind. He has something for this vessel to accomplish. And one of these days, that vessel's going to leave the potter's workhouse and going to be taken out into the world. And if it is going to face that world, if it's going to face all that abuse, if it's going to face all that use, that clay, that vessel must be ready. For it is a harsh world. Those people out in the world, they don't really care much about where this vessel came from. They just want to use it. They don't have in mind at all that this vessel is the work of a loving potter. They don't think about the time and the effort and the concern that the potter put in this vessel. All they're concerned about is, can I use this bowl? Will this jar work? They will use it and abuse it. So if this vessel is going to be ready for what that world demands, it's going to have to be made ready. The potter's going to have to make sure, listen, he's going to have to make sure before it leaves his workshop that it's ready for what it's about to go into. And that's what the potter's about to do. It's a process that the clay's not thrilled about. It's a process that the clay wishes could be avoided, but it's something that's necessary. It's something that has to take place. For again, when it gets out there in the world, it's going to be used. It's going to be abused. It's going to be taken advantage of. It's going to be taken for granted. And if it's going to face that harshness and not crack under the pressure, the potter's got to do something. And of course, we're talking tonight about going through the fire or being placed in the keel, or sometimes pronounced kiln. It has to be placed through the fire. It has to go through the heat. Now, the vessel has already dried as much as it can on the shelf, but there's still moisture in that clay. And that moisture must be completely removed, and it cannot happen just by sitting in the atmosphere, sitting in the breeze or the wind. So the potter knows he must put it through the fire. It must be going through the kiln. So he starts heating it up. He starts doing that the clay again does not desire. Now, the clay is somewhat dry, and there is a strength about it, but it's still brittle, and it's still fragile. Even though the potter has gone to a great extent and been careful through the whole process, that vessel is still fragile. So something must happen to strengthen it. It must go through some process to give it more strength. You see, if the potter just used that vessel like it was, all you'd have to do is pour some water in it, and it literally would dissolve because it's not strong. It cannot take the abuse, the slightest pressure, and it would crack or break. So he turns up the kiln. It's going to hurt. And the clay does not like it, but what choice does it have? What choice does the potter have? If that clay, if that vessel wants to be used, it must go through the fire, the only way it can happen. If that clay, if that vessel wants to bring honor and glory to the potter, it must go through this process. If it's going to be ready for that the potter is going to send it out to be used for, it has to go through this process. And can I just say it like this? If we're ever going to be any good for God, we must go through the fire. If we're going to ever be what the potter wants us to be, if we are going to face the abuse of this world and not crack under the pressure, we're going to have to go through some fire. The potter's going to have to turn the kiln up. We're going to have to learn how it is to endure the flame and the fire and the heat. You see, the potter doesn't just touch and move and mold and tenderly and gently handle the clay. He also hurts the clay. He also, in some ways, abuses the clay because he knows it has to be. He knows it must take place. You see, if there is no fire, there is no strength. If there is no fire, there is no stability. So the potter turns the kiln up. He turns the fire up. And that's exactly the way it is with us. Until we face adversity, we will not have the strength that we need. Until we face the fire, we will not be prepared for what the world is going to do with us next week or even tomorrow. Until we face the fire and face difficulties and trials, until we've been hurt, we will not be able to endure pain. Until we have had faced opposition, we will not be able to stand in spite of opposition. Until we face the fire of the furnace and survived it, we will not survive the heat of the world. And the potter knows that. He's trying to make the vessel ready. And we'll endure that fire, we'll endure those trials, 1 Peter 1:6-7 says. wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perisheth, though it be tried with a fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Peter said the fire of trials is like that gold that's being purified. He says it's something that must happen. It's something that's needed. The potter, the Lord, is doing a divine work in our lives and hearts to get us ready for the world, to get us ready for what He wants to use us in. 1 Peter chapter 4. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice in as much as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when His glory shall be revealed, ye shall be glad also with exceeding joy. Peter said, don't be surprised when the fire gets turned up. Don't be shocked when trials come. He says, in essence, you just well expect it. And we just as well expect it. We just as well expect the trials, because the kiln will be heated. It hurts. It's hard. We do not desire it. Our flesh resists it, but it must take place. Could I say this? We often learn more in the kiln than we do while we were on the wheel. We often learn more about the Lord and His will and His power and His strength and His ability, and also about ourselves when we're going through the fire, than we did when He was doing all that molding, as important as that was. Well, we're talking tonight about the clay must be ready. We're talking about the kiln. Gonna say, first, the kiln involves tenderness. You say, preacher, are you wacko? You've already told us about how this time hurts. This process is hard. The heat is something we don't desire. It's difficult on the clay, yes. But oh, the potter does it with tenderness. You see, he takes that kiln and he has shells and he has little posts. And he puts three or four little small posts in the bottom of the kiln, and he puts a shelf down. And he tenderly, carefully, precisely takes the vessel and places it on that shelf. And he takes another vessel and he places it on the shelf. And he takes another vessel and he places it on the shelf. Then he takes some taller posts and he puts inside those vessels and puts another shelf down. And he takes another vessel and puts it on the shelf until he slowly, precisely, carefully fills the kiln. If you can imagine someone building a house of cards, that's kind of the process. He tenderly, carefully, precisely fills the kiln with the vessels of clay. And friend, that's how God does us. Sometimes we think, oh, Lord, you're about to kill me. God, what are you doing? Well, we need to understand it is in tenderness. It is in love. It is with compassion that He's placed us in the fire. And He has placed us precisely where He wants us to be. It may hurt. We may wonder, what are you doing? You're about to kill me. I don't like this. This hurts. Get me out. But He has placed us precisely, carefully, tenderly, lovingly in the fire where we need to be. The kiln deals with tenderness. It involves the care of a loving potter. He stacks the vessels according to their size. Generally, they'll put the small ones near the bottom, and as he goes up to fill the kiln, he'll put the larger ones. But he has the smaller and the larger and the largest. He puts them according to size. So no vessel is without its by itself. There's some other vessel in the kiln with them. And that's how it is with us. Sometimes we think we're going through something that nobody understands, nobody cares, and nobody's interested. Sometimes we think, like Elijah, I'm the only one who's gone through this. I'm the only one left. Well, that's not what the Bible says. In fact, the Bible says the exact opposite. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, there hath no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. You know what that means? Somebody has already gone through what you're going through. Even more than that, somebody is now still going through what you're going through. We may be in the fire from time to time, but we're not alone. Somebody understands. I know the Lord does. I know He sees us, but I'm glad there's some people with skin on who understands, that can pray for you, that can care, that can hold your hand, that can help you dry your tears when the troubles and trials come. When the fire comes, I'm glad we're not alone. The keel involves tenderness. The keel involves time. I wish this was a quick process. Especially for you people who are so impatient. Sounded a whole lot better saying it that way. Made me feel a little bit better about myself. I wish. We probably all are impatient, and when it comes to problems, I want them over right now. I want them over yesterday. When I'm in the fire, I want it over now. But it takes time. It's a process that takes time. It's a process that cannot be rushed. Even the heat has to come up gradually. He turns it on and He lets it heat very slowly for hours. He keeps it on a low heat. Gradually, slowly, He turns the heat up and makes it hotter and hotter. He knows how long it's going to take. He knows the time that's involved. In fact, listen, if that clay heats up too quickly, it will, as I've said before, the moisture that's still in there turns to steam and it will explode. He knows the clay. What we're talking about, the potter knows the clay. And He knows that clay in order to survive the fire, in order to endure the keel, has to be heated, and it takes time. It's a process that cannot be rushed. It cannot be hurried. Even if it cools too quickly, it will crack and shatter. It's a process that takes time. And friend, when we go through trials, when we're facing the fire, when the heat's on, we want to get out of it. We want it to be over. But the Lord knows the right timing. He knows how long. He knows how hot. He knows what He's doing. Again, the clay does not enjoy this process. It longs for it to be over. It longs for the potter to come in and pull it out of the fire. But it's a process that takes time. And removing that clay too early would be the worst thing he could do. Because as we're about to see, the process of firing, the process of heating, that fire of the kiln is doing a work that the clay drastically, desperately needs. And if that potter, we'll say it like this, in mercy, turns the heat down and pulls the vessel out too early, it will be the most drastic, tragic thing he could do. It would be the worst thing he could do because the process would be incomplete and the vessel would be useless. The potter knows what he's doing. And there's times that we pray and we say, Lord, please give me relief. And it seems like he's not hearing. There's times we face problems and we say, Lord, please show me what am I to do? And it seems like heaven is silent. It is not that he's left you. It is not that he's angry unless you're in sin. It is not because he's forsaken us, but he knows the time involved. He knows the process. He knows what time's going to take, and he knows what he's doing, and he will not quit early no matter how much we whine. The keel involves time. You see, there's more involved than a nice shape. Oh, what a lovely vase. There's more involved than the right shape of the bowl. There's more involved than the sitting on the shelf and it drying as far as the atmosphere. The potter wants that vessel to be used. The potter has something in mind. And if that's going to happen, it must be made ready. It must be made ready for the world. And the only way that'll happen is to spend time in the fire. And therefore, we must be patient and ask the potter to do a thorough job and not listen to our whines or complaints, but to do a job completely, to let the fire stay up, to let the furnace still burn. We must be patient. James 1:3, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Romans 5:3, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. Romans 12:12, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continually instant in prayer. The potter knows how long the vessel needs to stay in the kiln. He knows because he knows the clay. And each type of clay, and I'm trying to stay away from so many details, I could get bogged down on this for sure. But each type of clay needs a certain type or temperature of heat for a certain length of time. And that potter knows the type of clay. He's made that vessel up, and he knows how hot, and he knows how long. And it must be. The kiln involves time. I will say this. He determines how long, listen to this. He determines how long it stays in the heat by how the clay responds to the heat. There is a process. There is a point. There is a point that the clay must get to. And if that clay doesn't get to that place of maturity, that vessel will be useless. And the potter knows that point. He knows that time. He knows that heat. And he will bring that clay to that point or else. And therefore, part of the length of the time we stay in the fire depends on us and how much we resist His work and refuse to listen and reject the process. The kiln involves tenderness. The kiln involves time. The kiln involves temperature. The temperature of the kiln is vitally important. The potter monitors the temperature and controls the temperature precisely. There's different stages in the firing process. And again, I'll leave a lot of the details out. But these details in this firing process must be followed to the letter, or the vessel will never be ready. It will never become what it needs to be. It'll never be useful. Again, the kiln can't be heated too quickly, and it can't be cooled too quickly because there's still moisture in that clay, and it must be gotten out. It must be cooked out. It must be burnt out. And so the potter heats up the kiln, and he holds it at a constant level. He holds it at that level for a certain length of time. You know what he does after that? Turns it up a little bit more. Have you ever noticed how he does that? Sometimes you think, Lord, I'm about to die. If anything else happens, I don't know what I'm going to do. Lord, it can't get any worse. You know what? It does. Everything seems to be falling apart, and that little bit that didn't fall apart does. But he knows the temperature. He knows the amount of fire we have to go through. He knows what he's doing. He knows the clay. Seems like sometimes everything goes wrong and then it gets worse. But he knows what he's doing. He knows the process well. He knows how high to turn it. And listen, if we give up in this process, we'll never become the vessels he desires. We'll never bring glory to the potter. You see, now that vessel with relatively low heat can become somewhat useful, but when it comes out, it'll be porous and open, and it'll never hold water. If that vessel is to be used, now if you're going to just use this bowl to throw your spare change in, probably use it. Have to be real careful. Have to drop it in gingerly, easily, because it'll be easily broken. But if you're going to use this bowl at the king's table, and you're going to serve the king's dinner in this bowl, it's going to have to be heated. It's going to have to get hotter. It'll be easy, I guess, in some ways. If we're just satisfied with the ordinary, we might get out with ordinary heat. But if we want to be used, if we want to be a blessing to God, if we want to bring honor and glory to the potter, it's going to take some temperature. It's going to take some heat. The keel takes temperature. It involves temperature. Again, different types of clay demands different extremes of temperature. It's very important. I've said this over and over, that we submit, that we don't gripe, that we don't complain, that we don't resist. 1 Corinthians 10:10, neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. Philippians 2:14. Do all things without murmurings and disputings. You know what that means? I'll use the Shoemaker version, griping and complaining. Boy, it's easy. It's natural. It's normal. But we need to realize this heat we're going through, the fire He sends us through, is Him working. The keel involves tenderness and time and temperature. The keel involves transformation. I like this. If the potter took that clay vessel off the shell and gave it to somebody and said, go ahead and take it to use it, it would take nothing for it to be broken and shattered. It would take nothing for it to be destroyed. It would take nothing for it to be ruined. So it must go through this kiln process. It must go through the heat. It must go through the fire. Why? Because that fire, listen, changes it. There is a literal change. There is a transformation of that clay vessel. It literally comes out of that keel completely different. It is a transformation. It goes in clay, listen, and it comes out ceramic. I mean on the molecular structure, the molecular level. You know, everything's made of molecules. And the kiln changes the clay on the molecular level. It literally changes what it is. That heat melts the clay and it bonds together and it no longer is clay. It all of a sudden is a glass-like material. It's ceramic. It is not what it used to be. Listen, the heat transforms the clay. It goes in brittle and very fragile. It comes out hard and stable. It takes a certain temperature to get to that place where the transformation takes place. Go in the keel, tile, brittle and weak and useless. Come out hard and stable and useful. It literally is a mystical, I use that word, transformation. There comes a point where that heat gets to a certain point to where this transformation takes place and there's no backing up. The clay will never be what it used to be because the heat has changed it. It is no longer a clay vessel. It's ceramic. It's glass-like. It's different. Even the molecular structure is different because of the heat. And if you've ever endured the furnace, you'll have to say that you came out different. If you've ever endured the furnace, if you've ever endured the heat, if you've ever gone through the keel, if the potter's ever put you through the keel, you came out a different person. It transforms us. It makes us better than we were. You come out loving Him more because you see what He did when you were in the heat. You come out desiring Him more because you just want to be close to Him. You come out stronger than you went in because of the work that's been done. You come out better equipped to face the world because of what all has been done. You come out ready to face difficulties. You come out mature, a little bit more spiritual. The fire has done its work. That's what the keel does. That's what the fire does. But I got to interject something. If we resist the fire, the change won't be positive, it'll be negative. It won't make us more spiritual. If we're not careful, if we resist this fire, if we resist this work, if we resist the trials the potter sends us through, it'll make us bitter instead of better. It'll make us harsh instead of hard enough to face the world. So our attitude makes so much difference. And I suppose there's nobody more miserable on earth than somebody who's resisted the work of the potter. I've mentioned several things. Let me close with this thought. The clay must be removed, refined, reformed, rotated, responsive, rigid, and ready. I want to close with one little thought. The clay must be rescued. I thought about what happens if the potter forgets the clay. What if he forgets about the keel? What if he gets busy? What if he goes to town and forgets about the vessel in the keel? Well, good thing about it, our potter's not going to. But there still comes a point in time. Listen, the heat is so hot, listen, and the length of time has been so long that if it stays any longer or if it gets any hotter, the vessel will be ruined. It literally will melt in the keel. If the heat gets too hot or if it stays too long. So there comes a point to where the work is no longer productive. The work is no longer good. The work on that clay, the work in that heat is no longer doing good to the vessel. It becomes destructive. It becomes harmful. Amen. And the potter knows how to rescue the clay out of the fire when it's the right time. He puts us in tenderly, and He watches us and controls the heat while we're in there. But when it gets to where it's too much, when it gets to where we've just about had it, where it gets to the point where if it doesn't stop, it's going to start harming us, He knows how to get in and rescue us and pull us out of the heat. The clay must be rescued. Psalm 34:19. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of all of them. 1 Corinthians 1:10. Who delivered, I like this verse, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust he will yet deliver us. He said he did deliver, he is delivering, and he will deliver. That's the potter we have. He knows when it's getting too hot. He knows when we've been in the fire too long. And he knows how to come in and pull us out and rescue us from the fire and pull us back out. 2 Timothy 3:11, persecutions, afflictions which came unto me at Antioch and Iconium and Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. 2 Peter 2:9, the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations. Sometimes it feels like He's killing us. And that's exactly what He's trying to do. Kill that old clay out of us. Burn that old man out of us. Transform us into something who walks with us in the Spirit and brings glory to the potter and can be used for His glory and ready to face the world and all the trials and the harshness. So He leaves us in the fire. And sometimes He makes it awful hot, but He knows the clay. And just the right time, He'll take us out. So the clay must trust the potter. Got a question, I'm done. What other choice does it have? What other choice does the clay have than trust the potter? can't depend on itself. Other vessels, even though there's some around, can't depend on them. What other choice do we have? I'll re-say that. What other sensible choice do we have than to trust the potter? We can try and trust ourselves, but that ain't sensible. We can go by our own intellect and our own ingenuity, but that's not sensible. The only hope we have, the only thing that's reasonable, is to trust the potter, because he knows the clay. He's at work with you. He's at work with me. And what he's doing is right. Pure and simple. Let's stand together.